Welcome to the OKC Community Podcast. We are so glad you're here. To get the latest updates or to watch this week's message, visit our website at okccommunitychurch.com.
Amen. Hi, everyone. Let's get into it today. You guys ready to start Holy Week? Yeah. It is Palm Sunday today. This is a big day, so I thought I'd preach a big message. You guys all right with that? I don't mean a long message. I mean a big message. Some of you have been in those two-hour sermons before that aren't any good. This won't be that. This will just be a big message because this is a big day. We get to talk about the awe and the wonder of God. Last week, we started a new series called Awe and Wonder, and today I want to share a message with you that I've titled, The Lamb is the Goat. The Lamb is the Goat. Check it, right? Who doesn't need that shirt, right? We need that shirt. The Lamb is the Goat. And before you think I'm being cute and I'm saying, oh, Jesus, the Lamb of God, is the greatest of all time, which is a true statement, Jesus is the Goat, I'm actually mean this more literally today. The Lamb is the Goat. I want to talk about lambs and goats today because both of them play a prominent role in the Bible. The Bible doesn't talk about, you know, our favorite animals like dogs and cats all that much, but lambs and goats are Bible rich. They are all throughout the Bible. And I want to take us back. You all ready to go? It's a big message. It's a big message. I want to go back to the book of Leviticus. We camped out there last week. I thought, man, we had a lot of fun. Let's do it again. We love it so much. So I want to get into Leviticus chapter 16. If you have a Bible, you can open to that. We'll get there in just in a moment. Because this chapter is all about what's called the Day of Atonement. And I shared a little bit about that last week, but I'll give you a brief background once again. The Day of Atonement is all what it's all about, what it meant to the people of the day. And on the biblical Jewish calendar, there are seven annual feasts and festivals that they would celebrate. Each feast was designated for a specific purpose, to do something, to meet with God in a special way. For example, one of the other Jewish holy days or holidays many of you have heard about or maybe even know a lot about it, it's called Passover, and many people know about this one because it's always celebrated during this season that we're in right now. It's always connected to Easter because Jesus was crucified on Passover Day, which is why we call him the Lamb of God. His death was the fulfillment of many of the sacrificial lambs that were slaughtered on Passover Day as an act of worship and receiving forgiveness. Passover, this again, 2,000 years ago plus, was a holy day that honored God for the Lord freeing his people from Egypt. You guys remember the story with Moses, right? Let my people go. There was that moment, right? Well, God said, hey, I have something I want to do in order to rescue you. I want you to take some lamb's blood. I want you to put it over the doorpost of your house, paint it over the doorpost of your house, because when a plague comes, that'll be my sign to you to save you and to rescue you, so no one in your home would come to harm, no one would die. And so God used this. God's Spirit protected those homes from death by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Jesus now says something different. He says, I am now the blood over the doorposts of your life. Are you all with me? I am now the blood that will protect you. I am now the blood that will save you over the doorposts of your life. I am now the blood that will rescue you. Are you guys thankful for the rescue of Jesus today? We're going to get to Leviticus 16 in a moment, but let me talk about the Lamb of God. You guys want to talk about the Lamb of God? John 1:26 says, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb taking away that sin. 1 Peter 1:18, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you. We talked about the empty way of life a couple weeks ago. It wasn't purchased for you by silver or gold. The lamp, the life that you've been given, verse 19, it was purchased with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He is the perfect Lamb of God. Revelation 5:12 says, saying this with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy, worthy, worthy. The Lamb is worthy to receive power and glory and honor and blessing. So that's what the Lamb is about. But what about the goat? I thought the Lamb was a goat, Tim. You said the Lamb is the goat. Where's the goat? We're talking about the Lamb, but where's the goat? Maybe you weren't thinking that, but that's what I was thinking. I told you last week about one of the other feasts. So there's Passover, that's a feast. There's another feast, and it's called Rosh Hashanah. Everyone say Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. Nice. Rosh Hashanah. Also known as the Feast of Trumpets. And Rosh Hashanah kicks off what's known as the 10 Days of Awe. And it is the Jewish New Year, and for 10 days, leading up to another Jewish festival, the third one, we're talking about three of the seven today, we get to Yom Kippur, also known as the Day of Atonement. So the 10 days in between Rosh Hashanah and the Day of Atonement were a time for soul-searching, fasting, praying, getting right with God, getting right with others. Those 10 days would lead up and prepare the people for what was the holiest day of the year, the Day of Atonement. And in case you're wondering, the word atonement means to cover over. So atonement is literally meaning to cover over your sin. There's a day that God set aside to cover over our sin. So I think we should dig into this whole thing. I think we should talk about the Day of Atonement. I think you're going to really learn a lot, like a lot. You may already know all about it, but let's talk about it anyway. Jesus, of course, later would fulfill all the things that these feasts were supposed to do. Jesus would fulfill the Day of Atonement. He would, through Jesus, our sin would be covered over. It would be atoned for. He has covered our sin. But let's talk about what happened before Jesus. It's always helpful to know what happened before Jesus so we can understand Jesus better. Let's look at this sort of like a behind-the-scenes investigation today. All right? The story behind the story. What happened before Jesus? We're going to talk about the jelly before there was peanut butter. You all right? Jelly is great, but it's divine with peanut butter. Jesus is peanut butter. I eat peanut butter every day. Jesus is good. All right, so let's dig into this and get the basic gist of what's happening in the Day of Atonement, because I believe there is something for us today. So the Day of Atonement, a man called the high priest, he is the numero uno spiritual leader of the day, right? On that day, he enters into the Holy of Holies, into the temple, and he's going to act on behalf of the people in order for their sins to be atoned for. And there are a number of specific things he's got to do, things he's got to wear, things he's got to sacrifice. And I'm just going to warn you, this is going to be a little weird. It's going to be like, I don't know, it's going to be like walking through Jell-O. You know what I mean? It's like, it's weird, but it feels good. Yeah, you're getting it. Leviticus 16. This is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. I promise it's going to be fun. Look at your neighbor and say, this is going to be fun. It's going to be a fun day. It's like wading through Jell-O. Here we go. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 3, here we go. This is how Aaron, now Aaron is the high priest. You just got to get that in your head because we'll mention Aaron a few times. Aaron is to enter the sanctuary area with a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He is to put on the sacred linen tunic with a linen undergarments next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash around him and put on a linen turban. He found a sale at J. Crew in the spring for linen. These are the sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. So the clothing was all sacred, right? Sacred linen, sacred sash, sacred undergarments even. Look at your neighbor and say, undergarments. You'll do anything? I mean, if he's going to atone for your sin, he should be wearing from sacred underwear. You know what I'm saying? Like, verse 5. From the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats. Uh-oh, there's the goats. For a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering and make atonement for himself and his whole household. And you're like, what are we talking about? The Day of Atonement begins with the high priest doing everything he can to purify himself, cleanse himself. So before he goes to try and do whatever God's called him to do to atone for the people, he's got to get himself and his whole household clean. Are y'all with me? So he's making sacrifices. He's putting on sacred clothes. He is putting on sacred underwear, as you do on the Day of Atonement. Now he's ready. Dress for success. Verse 7. Then he is to take the two goats. Everyone say two goats.
Two goats.
And present them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Now, the tent of meetings is the old term for the temple. He is to cast lots for two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering. So I want you to notice that. One goat is a sin offering. The first goat is given for that purpose. This is the dead goat, all right? But the goat chosen by lot as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the desert as a scapegoat. So we have these two goats. Neither one of them is getting a good deal, right? One is about to be sacrificed as a sin offering to God, and the other one is sent out into the desert as a scapegoat. He is the exiled goat. This is like the dog that's unwanted that gets dropped off in the country. Like, this is what's happening to this goat. So you talk about two terrible options. One, you can either die or you can be abandoned, right? But this scapegoat, the second one, he's the scapegoat. And we all know what a scapegoat is, right? We know what it is. The scapegoat is the one who takes the blame for everything that you do. It was your little brother when you were a kid, right? For example, though, as we grow older, the scapegoat is who we pass blame on for the things that are really our responsibility, but we want to blame someone else. So we cast blame on other people or our boss or our family members for the things that we're failing at. Maybe we blame the government or we blame big business, and it's like, why don't you take responsibility? We do this. So the term scapegoat that we use in society actually comes from this chapter. This is where it originated. And the high priest would offer one of these two goats as a sacrifice, a sin offering, and the second goat becomes the scapegoat. Now, the Hebrew word for the scapegoat in this particular context is the word Azazel. Three syllables, Azazel. Everyone say Azazel. Now say it like they said it, Azazel. Say it real fast, Azazel. Azazel. Yeah, I like it. But the general idea and meaning behind the word goat and the word Azazel is to take away. To take away is what it meant. It meant to take away. The scapegoat, this Azazel, was going to take away the sins of the people. So the Eastern mind, that's what we have here in the Bible. The Eastern mind thinks in terms of pictures and metaphors and story. The Western mind, our mind, thinks in terms of definition and process. So we want three reasons to believe in God. We want a checklist, a linear strategy to lose weight. We're like, okay, you know, maybe I need to do a juice fast and I need to quit eating donuts. You know what I mean? And so we need a plan. But the Eastern mind thinks totally in terms of like pictures. So God uses this goat to be a picture for their sins. And we're about to read this, where the sins are going to be placed on the scapegoat who's going to take the blame for us, right? And so the high priest would actually take his hands and place them on the goat. And the people would see this picture of their sins coming off of them and going onto the goat. Let me read about it. Verse 20. When Aaron had finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all of their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall then send the goat away into the desert in the care of a man appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all the sins to a solitary place, and the man shall release it into the desert. You're free, goat. Right? Now, who would be the man appointed for that task? All the sins of the people have been put on this goat. This is one loaded goat. Who wants to take that, right? Now, normally the man appointed for the task was a Gentile, meaning they weren't a Jew. Maybe they worked for someone in the city. It was a person that was a non-Jew. This person probably thought the tradition of this whole goat thing was nonsense and kind of weird. And he's like, sure, I'll take $50 to walk your goat out into the desert. Sure, why not? They actually believed that when the goat left, their sins left with it. Isn't that crazy? A bunch of people thinking God could take away their sins. Kind of this wild notion. So when the goat left, so did their sins. Azazel, to take away. Some of you need some things taken away today. Right? I have things I need God to take away. Some of us have pain that we're carrying. We're like, God, would you just take it away from me? Some of us are walking in sin right now, and it's tripping us up in such a way that we feel such shame and such guilt about it that we're like, God, can you please just take it away? Can you take my sins off of me and put it on that goat too? Can you take it away? Some of us are like, no, I'm carrying the sins of other people. I am so tired of dealing with their stuff that I have to carry it. Would you take that away from me, God? A lot of us have things we need to be taken away. So this picture that we're imagining where you see, right, this is what's going on for those people. If you were there on the Day of Atonement, you would have felt like, okay, wow, the high priest has taken my sins off of me and placed them on this goat, and I am watching them literally walk out of the camp into the wilderness, never to be seen again. That's what they're imagining. That's what they're seeing. That's what it all meant. And if you were in the temple, you would see this picture of this goat being taken away into the desert. I want you to turn with me to John 19. Now we understand the Day of Atonement just a little bit more. Once per year, the high priest, in his sacred underwear, would purify the people by sacrificing one goat and placing the sins of the people on the other goat who was taken away. But catch this, that goat lived. So one goat dies, and one goat lives. Are y'all seeing where I'm going? Are you tracking where I'm stepping? Are you guys tasting what I'm cooking? Are you feeling what I'm putting down? Are you smelling what I'm baking? John 19. Jesus is standing trial before the Roman governor Pilate. The calendar day is Friday, Passover day. Jesus has been arrested the night before under bogus allegations handed down by the religious establishment, those who rejected him, and ultimately handed over to the Romans because the Jews didn't want his blood on their hands. They wanted it on someone else's. They call him a traitor and a threat to the Roman government, so Pilate gets involved. Pilate questioned him. He can't find any fault in him, but he is ruled by the mob. Pilate is a weak man. And so you get to this verse 14. And he presents Jesus to a bloodthirsty crowd. And he says, "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. And the crowd, first of all, they didn't like that. They didn't want Jesus being called their king. At this point, most of us who know the story remember the crowd shout back at this moment, "Crucify, crucify." But I want you to notice what the verse actually says. Verse 15, "But they shouted, 'Take him away. Take him away. Crucify him. Crucify him. Azazel. Azazel, take him away. We don't want him. Crucify him.'" Then it gets even better. Who leads Jesus out of the city? It wasn't the Jews. It was the Gentile. It was the Roman soldiers. They lead him out of the city to the hill where the cross was. That was the man appointed for the task. It was someone else to be led out of the city. So Jesus is led out of the city, out of the temple by Gentiles. John is writing this. John is the writer of that gospel. You know he's writing it, and he's like, they think in terms of pictures. He's like, "Can you see it? Can you see it?" He's like, as he's writing this, he's like way ahead of us. He's like, "Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Azazel, Azazel, crucify him. The Gentiles are leading him out of the city." He's like, "Don't you get it? Don't you get it? Do you see it? He's atoning our sin." He knows that everybody understands the Day of Atonement. Everybody during that day totally gets it. They get the picture. And he's like, "Oh my goodness, Jesus is atoning. He's the goat that's being slaughtered, and he's the goat being led into the wilderness that lives. And he's going to die, but then he's going to live. He's the sacrifice. He's the atonement. He's the victory. Jesus is our Azazel, and he's doing the job of taking away our sins. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is what's happening, right? But is it a lamb or is it a goat? Behold the Lamb. I thought it was a goat. Why aren't we saying worthy is the goat? Behold the goat. Which I like that one. Well, this isn't one of those either-or things. This isn't like, who's the GOAT, Michael or LeBron? We know. Who's the GOAT, Jack or Tiger? We know. Who's the GOAT, Swiftie or Beyonce? We know. With Jesus, it's not either or. It's not lamb or goat. It's the genius of the and. It's the beauty of both. Jesus is the Passover lamb. He covers our sin and he protects us. His blood is painted over the doorposts of our life, saying, I will protect you and rescue you all the days of your life. But he's also the Atonement Day goats. He's the first sacrifice goat who sacrificed himself for our sin to purify us. And he's the scapegoat who takes away the sin of the world. The scapegoat is actually the word, it comes from escape goat. Escape goat. This goat escaped death. Jesus took our sins and then he escaped death. He overcame death for each and every one of us where we are dead in our sin. And he has come to take away the sins of the world. I just need to ask right now, can you just humor me? Is anyone thankful that Jesus, he is the lamb and the goat? He is the lamb and the goat. The lamb is actually the goat. He is the beauty of both. It's not done. I told you there's a big message. I'm taking you from beginning to end. Here we go, Hebrews chapter 9. We were near the beginning in Leviticus. We're near the end in Hebrews. It says, when everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest. Who was the high priest back then? Aaron. Only the high priest entered the inner room. And that only once a year and never without blood. What was he doing? He was killing a goat, which he offered for himself. He was killing a ram and killing a bull. Remember, he was purifying himself in the sacred linens and for the sins of the people that they had committed in ignorance. So the reason I even read this is because we probably have read this. If you read the Bible much, you read Hebrews, and you're not even sure what we're talking about. This is the Day of Atonement. One day per year where the high priest entered the Holy of Holies to sacrifice, to atone for his sin and for the sins of the people. When you understand Leviticus, you understand Jesus. Today, our Day of Atonement is Good Friday. Our Day of Atonement as believers happens this week, Good Friday, the day that Jesus took away the sins of the world. Hebrews 10, 11 through 13. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which he can never take away sin. They can never Azazel. They can never take it away. This is the writer writing after Jesus came. He's like, now the priests who didn't believe in Jesus, they keep doing their sacrifices and they're empty. They're worthless. They don't do anything anymore because Jesus has come and fulfilled it. But when this priest, everyone say this priest. This priest is Jesus now. So Jesus is the lamb, the goat, and he is now the high priest. And he says, when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Why is he sitting? Because he's done. It's finished. He completed the task. Listen, he's like, I am done. He sat down, and since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. It took one sacrifice to set you free. It took one sacrifice to take those sins off of your shoulders and put them onto our scapegoat, who is Jesus, who took them away, never to be seen again, off, out of your life. He sat down. The job is done. It's complete. Jesus did it on the cross. Our sins are atoned for because the Most High Priest went into the Holy of Holies and did the work that no one else could do. When Jesus was on the cross, what did he say? He said, it is finished. It's done. If you want to understand the unbelievable awe and wonder of God, the gift of Jesus on the cross, you do have to understand Leviticus. How many believe that what Jesus did for us should be celebrated? Anybody believe that? Amen. Give me an amen if you believe that. There are some things worth being celebrated. There are some things worth being noisy about. And you guys are really good at being noisy sometimes. I mean, we get together with friends, right? We get together with friends. They come over and we're like, hey, let's have a party. And we will lose our brains when someone shoulder pads and a helmet goes across a goal line. We will go crazy when they hit the game-winning shot. And just in case you're not a sports fan, we will have a gathering of people, and there'll be a guy. He's called the Bachelor. And whenever he chooses the right girl, we lose our minds. But when he chooses the wrong girl, we really lose our minds. We get noisy. We yell at the TV. We're like, what is happening? Is he an idiot? Some things are worth being celebrated and getting noisy about, and you can have fun. I don't care. Go get noisy about that stuff. But you better get noisy about Jesus, because he has finished the work that no one else could do. I told you it was a big message. I'm not amped up because I want to rile you up. I'm amped up because this is Holy Week. This is the week in which Jesus did something for us that we could never do for ourselves. He was our Azazel. He took away something that we could never get rid of. It was locked onto us. It was latched onto us. That sin was going nowhere until Jesus came and he took it away. And he said, guess what? Not only can I take it away, I can give you life. He gave his life so you can get your life. That's what Jesus did for you. And we got to get noisy about Jesus in our life. We have to. The blood was shed on the cross, and we can walk away clean. And some of you, I know it. I know it deep in my heart. Today, you want to walk away clean. You need your sins taken away from you. You need clarity between you and the Lord. You need to remove doubts. You need to remove that chasm that exists where you sit here and you're like, I want to be with the Lord. I want to understand, but there's been this gap in your life and you're like, how do I bridge the gap? It's Jesus Christ that bridged that gap. You'll never be able to bridge it. You'll never be able to do it yourself. You're never going to earn it. You're never going to get clean all by yourself. It's only through the cross of Christ that you can even get close to God. Jesus says, all people, when they come through me, that is their way to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I just got to ask you, do you need to accept Jesus today? In the past month, we've seen dozens of people give their life to Christ. It's been unbelievable. And maybe that's exactly where you're at today. It's time to come to Christ in your life, to let him finish the work that you could never finish. Let him give you peace. Let him give you love, the love that you need. Let him take the shame and the guilt off of you. Let him atone. Let him cover over a multitude of sin. Let his atoning work be made complete in your life. Jesus came for you. He gave his life for you so that you can receive life from him. So I want you to respond today. It's not just for people who need Jesus, it's for all of us. We need to get noisy about Jesus in our life. So would you bow your heads? We want to respond today. We're going to respond in a few different ways. We're going to respond in worship in just a moment. This altar will be open. But first and foremost, I want to invite anybody to respond to the message of Jesus, to respond to his incredible act of love. Holy Spirit, would you come today? We invite your presence to draw near to us today. We need you today. We need you to move in us. We need your love to fall down in this place. I want to pray for anybody in this room right now that's just sensing a draw from the Holy Spirit, sensing a prompting in your heart right now to respond to this message, to respond to the good news of Jesus. That's the way he moves. He starts moving inside of our heart, inside of our soul, and he starts drawing us to himself. The scriptures say that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What a great verse. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Just for a moment, I want you to just, with your eyes closed, just listen to these words, because they are for you. Jesus says that he has come to give life and give it to the full. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That is the gospel in a nutshell. That verse is saying God loves you, and when you trust in his son Jesus, you will not die, but you will have everlasting life with God in heaven. Meaning God made a way to reconcile you in relationship. Jesus finished the job because he is the lamb and the goat. If you want to receive Jesus today, I want to lead you in a prayer. And this is, I've heard people being led to Christ through a number of ways. People on their own by their bedside, getting on their knees and praying. I've heard of people out in creation and being in awe and wonder of what God has done, and it just drew them to surrender their life to God. I've heard of people having conversations with a friend over coffee or at their house, and it leads them to a moment which they say, you know what, I just need to surrender to Jesus. I'm done fighting or trying to figure this out on my own, and Jesus seems like the answer. And this is another way that a lot of people respond to Jesus. They respond in church services like this. This is the way I gave my life to Christ so many years ago, with a pastor leading in a moment like this to say, would you want to receive Christ? You can pray this prayer. And the prayer that we lead is simply just an opportunity, a string of words that just says, will you surrender your heart to him? Do you want to follow Jesus? Do you surrender your life saying, God, I want to make you first? So that's what this prayer is. It's one of the ways in which we can surrender our lives to Christ. So if you'd like to do that today, just pray this prayer with me. Just say, Jesus, I give you my life. Just whisper that right where you're at. If you want to give your life to Christ today, if you want to surrender to him, say, Jesus, I give you my life. Now pray this. I ask for forgiveness of my sin. I ask for forgiveness of my sin. We all need atoned for. We need our sins covered over. That's why we ask for forgiveness. So if you haven't started praying with this, you can start. Let me start it over. Jesus, I give you my life. I ask for forgiveness of my sin. Now pray this. I confess you are Lord. I will follow you all the days of my life. Thank you, God, for saving me. With everybody's heads bowed, just another moment of just faith that I want to invite you into. That was a step of faith, you praying that prayer. One more step of faith, because I want to pray for you, and I think it's important to acknowledge, their scriptures even say it's important to acknowledge that you've given your life to Christ. So just in a moment of courage, would you just lift your hand wherever you're at? I'm going to pray for you. Just lift it up if you just prayed that prayer. Thank you. I see you. Once again, several hands. Thank you so much. Let's lift them up real quick. I'm going to pray for you. Father, I pray for the several hands that just went up right now. Would you just seal this moment in your sovereignty and in your power, that the seed being planted in their life would take root and bring life. God, protect them. Thank you for this moment of salvation in Jesus' name. We just pray all these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate God today? He's so good. Why don't you stand with me? Stand up. This is a time we're about to get noisy. All right? We're about to get a little noisy. And I don't mean we're going crazy, but I'm just mean we're going to lift our voice up. Worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor and praise today. So don't leave. Don't get restless. Stay in this moment. Stay in this room. Let's just continue to lean in to what God has for us today. Today is the start of Holy Week. It's the start of the 10 days of awe. And I just want to say a few things before we sing. This altar is a place of worship. I feel like the Lord is moving in our altar. And this altar is a place of worship for you to come and to give thanks. It's not just to come and pray for things, but if you need to come and pray, we have a prayer team here that prays healing and prays for needs and prays for breakthrough with you. And so you can come for prayer. You can come to praise today, but I want to encourage you to do one of those. This is a place of honor and praise. And I also would just say this. I have a word of knowledge for someone's healing today. I believe there's someone in here dealing with a left ankle pain, a condition that makes it painful to walk, painful to even feel the pain while you sit. And it's specifically on the inner left ankle. If that's you, if you're dealing with that, I would say you better come today, because God has healing for you. He wants to elevate your faith today. And so come. Jesus has healing for you today. So just come and say, hey, I have the ankle problem, and we'll pray for you. But this altar is a place of worship. So if you want to stand and worship, but I would say let's make a joyful noise because the Lamb is the goat. Can we give him praise today? Come on.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's message. If there's anything we can pray with you about, or if you have questions about God, we'd love to talk with you. Please visit our contact page at okccommunitychurch.com.